Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We want to also guide you to our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We have these radio programs and MP3 files. We also have Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length on various topics. And we also have a host of other Bible-related material that will help you and aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look and let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all these services. You will always be warmly received. Today we're going to begin the last chapter in the book of 1 Peter, and we're going to examine 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. Now we'll probably start this week and conclude the study of 1 Peter next Lord's Day. Let's begin this morning by reading our text, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 11. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I, who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, in this last chapter of 1 Peter chapter 5, this closing chapter leaves us with a description of the right habitude. Now, what does that mean, habitude? Habitude is a customary behavior or manner. It's a practice or characteristic that becomes a habit. Thus, we are to live holy and godly lives. In the context, it's suffering and pressure of persecution that we studied last week, and the judgment to come that we looked at last week in verse number 17. The qualities of the right habitude or the right behavior are essential in the view of these things that we studied last week, and they are the focus of verses 1 through 11 as we focus on three things about the right behavior and manner that we should conduct our lives. First off, in the first four verses, it was helping guidance in developing and maintaining the right habitude. While instructions are to elders, there's two things that I learned: what they are to do and what that means to those the elders lead. So those are the two things that are under consideration here when we're looking at a behavior or manner. What are they to do and what that means to those of us who they are leading? Who are they and what do they do? Well, elders originally referred to age, one who was older, one who has wisdom and maturity, one who has guidance and is dependable and trustworthy. Shepherds, they tend, the American Standard Version says, and they feed, King James Version says, in spiritual food and spiritual work. They care for the flock. That's something that is precious to them. The noun form in Ephesians 4 and 11 says pastors. Again, that's another word for the word elder. The metaphor is used here to show the comparison to the work of a shepherd who is concerned for the welfare of each sheep, so must the elder be. Hamilton cites two authorities that suggest that the word means that work is to be done with vigor and energy rather than a routine undertaking. It's something that must be taken quite seriously. Overseers, that's the same word as bishop. Superintendents, they look upon, they inspect, they look after. They direct the affairs of the congregation, and we are to submit to them, point of passage like Hebrews 13 and verse 7. The work is they watch for our souls. This is a spiritual work. And so it's not merely an official decision maker for churches, but they are there so they can oversee the welfare of the soul. So often is the case that elders concern themselves with issues that are mundane rather than observing how brethren are responding to the will of God in the spiritual parts of their lives. We need to have a greater concern for the sheep than the condition of the barn. Too many times, elders have their priorities backwards. They're worrying too much about physical things, and they're not worrying enough about the spiritual conduct of their flock. How they are to lead, not by constraint, but willingly. Not as if it's a burden to be resented, but something that is voluntarily. You don't draft people into the eldership, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. It's not merely for personal gain, but it's for the love of what they're doing. It must be performed with enthusiasm, not as lord over, but examples. They're not to be domineering, arrogant, masters, and they're not to be tyrants. The example, the word means the print or mark left from an impression. Lead rather than drive and push. Too many times, we don't understand the meaning of shepherds. Shepherds lead, they don't drive and push, so we need to learn how to lead. Responsibility they have. The responsibility they have is to the flock of God. God's flock is not the shepherd's flock. It's God's heritage, and every elder knows that. God's heritage means it was entrusted to them, that they oversee it and they take care of it. They're accountable to the chief shepherd. Verse number 4 talks about the sheep shepherd, and that is Jesus Christ. In verse 4, the elder's primary role is watching for souls. They are to feed the flock, the word of God, to observe their behavior, and to assist them in living according to the will of God through correction, guidance, being examples, molds or patterns to them, and giving them and helping them receive encouragement. Now, this week, I want to really dwell on these first few verses that we find in 1 Peter chapter 5 in concerning the elders. There's a great misconception in the world. Pastors are not preachers. Pastors are elders. They're presbyters, they're overseers, they're shepherds, and they're bishops. All those words have the same meaning. They are part of the role of eldership. Now, the eldership has qualifications, and you can read those in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. Those qualifications must be met by men who seek that office, and it must be an office that they desire. You cannot draft one into it. We also understand that they are to shepherd the flock of God that is among them. Elders have one flock they oversee, the one that is among them. This demonstrates there's no such thing as providential elders or citywide elders or area-wide elders. Those are theories and plans designed by men and not by God. They only have jurisdiction and oversight over a local church in where that church meets. And they are overseers. They are caretakers. They take care of the flock which belongs to the Lord. And not by compulsion, but willingly. This is something that he must willingly want to do. Why must an elder have the willingness to serve? Because he's going to give an account. He's going to give an account on how he handled that task. He's going to have to give an account to God, not only for his life and his actions, his own actions, but he's going to have to give an account of how he handled the house of God, which he was made an overseer over. So that's something you've got to want, not something that you're drafted in, and not being lord over those entrusted to you. These are not dictators. These are not tyrants. They don't rule with an iron fist, and they rule with love and kindness and goodness, and they don't lord it over their flock. They lead them as examples. They conduct themselves as living examples, and living examples of what they expect out of them that they will do themselves. They lead first by example, by their own conduct. And why? Because when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Your chief shepherd is Jesus Christ. But they're never going to receive a crown of glory unless they shepherd the flock in the way that God has instructed them. Ladies and gentlemen, being a shepherd, being an overseer, being a presbyter, being a bishop, or being a pastor, all of those things denote the same office. They are the office of an elder, an overseer, a manager, a caretaker. And they are being made managers and caretakers over the Lord's heritage, over something that belongs to God. And Him entrusting that to them, they don't make authority. They don't make rules. They don't enact new rules. They don't have any authority. Their authority ends in the Scripture. And what they are to do, they are to make sure that the local church in which they are elders over, that they function in the capacity and by the standard and by the commands that are dictated in God's Word. And they watch for the spiritual welfare of those that are in that flock. They are going to give an account of how they handled that spiritual work and how it affected the flock. You see, we need to understand that elders have a very grave task. It's an important task, but it's one that they take on willingly. And there's judgments that have to be made, and they make those judgments. And we are to respect those judgments. We're not to second guess them. We're not to be an armchair quarterback. And we are to accept the things that are matters of indifference or of judgment. You know, those kind of things, somebody has to make those decisions. When a church has qualified elders, they make those decisions. And they must be abided by those who are under submission and who are part of their oversight. Now, understand this in closing this morning. Elders are a plurality. There must be two. There is no such thing as a single eldership. There must be two or three. There cannot be one. And that's why the pastor system is wrong. In the religion of the denominational world, they have a pastor that is miscalled because he's really not a pastor, but he has a one-man rule. That is not the way God designed it. He designed it that elders have the oversight, and it's a plurality of men, not one man. And they are to oversee to make sure that the church where they labor and where they work follow the instructions and the commands that have been given by God. And they are to manage His heritage. And they are to remember that it belongs to Him, and they will give an account to Him in the day of judgment. Elders, a very, very grave work, very important work, and one that we should pray that men would pattern their lives in order to be able to conduct that very grave and important work. I want to thank you for listening today. And if you're in our area, please come and worship with us today. We would love to see you. Remember, we want to show you your need for God in your life, and you have a relationship with His Son who died for your sin. You have